Praise God, we've got our new, we've got our old bumper music.
I love it.
I like it. Those, that's Crusader music. I hope those people on social media don't get offended that that's high testosterone Catholic music.
If they do, too bad.
Yeah, from the Middle Ages. Yeah, we're going to use it. We just got to stand up to these bullies.
Yep.
Well, hey, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm on duty. Just want to remind you that we're very close to the end of the month of November. So continue praying for the holy souls this month of November. That's the emphasis. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, Jess, talking about things that are coming up with the Advent season. We have a special Advent Day of Recollection 3 days in a row with the Opus Angelorum with Father William Wagner and Father Wolfgang, and it starts December 13th to the 15th. We start at 5:45 with confessions. We have Holy Mass. We have conferences going on. So make a commitment for Advent. Advent is a time also of penance. So do some penance and get ready for the coming of Christmas. Today's topics, Joe, you picked out some home runs again. Talking about in England, the vaccinated adults under 60 years are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people. Don't tell too many people, man.
No. Yeah, keep it quiet.
Yeah, you see, Jesse, but we're not. You know what it is? It's the truth that sets us free. We're not in any kind of narrative. We want to make sure if these are the facts, then we tell people. The same thing about a study showing abortion pills, ER visits, you know, emergency room visits, are skyrocketing as the FDA mulls over relaxing these regulations. Why are they going to do that? Number three, Dr. Paul Mark files an epic lawsuit to allow physicians to prescribe life-saving, you know, medicines to fight against COVID. I mean, why? Well, we'll talk about that, and we'll tell you why I think they stopped that. Also, scandal, Jesse, is one of the biggest forms of that stops evangelization, and that Paris Archbishop is resigning after being accused of having an affair with a woman. He had said that he hadn't had it for like 9 years, but finally the truth came out. And why do I say these scandals? Well, I'll tell you when I'm not going to stop, and I'm going to stop talking about scandals, when the scandals stop. They need to end. Also, Jesse, you've been saying this, we've been talking for 2 years now about the COVID shots are intended to reduce the world's population by poisoning billions. South African doctor has said it, among others. And we'll give you the facts on that, and you be the judge. But we've got lots to cover. But, Jesse, we started Advent on Sunday. We've got some great readings for the week. So let's get some soul food in us, if you can, please.
Absolutely. Let me just quote Ephesians 5:11.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we do the shows and the topics that we do.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to Ephesians 5:11, quote, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Jesse, could you just repeat that? Because that's a very biblical teaching. So when people condemn us, have them read Ephesians 5. One more time.
Ephesians 5:11, here's why Terry and me say what we say, pick the topics that we pick, and discuss them. This is why, because we're Roman Catholic Christians bound by the word of God. Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Wow. Beautiful.
What is the darkness? This entire great reset to depopulate planet Earth by killing people with vaccines.
Yep.
This is the darkness that we want to expose. Okay. Today's gospel.
Yep.
St. Matthew chapter 8. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully. He said to him, I will come and cure him. The centurion said in reply, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me, and I say what, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of things. The centurion was a shot caller. He governed 100 soldiers, so he was a big shot in the Roman Empire. Now, look at what we see here. This is called vicarious faith. This is why we pray for people, intercessory prayer, because sometimes your prayers can change the course of somebody else's physical or spiritual condition by God honoring your prayers, even if the person's not asking. Here's a classic example. The paralyzed person, there's no indication that he's saying, hey, take me to Jesus, I want to be healed. There's no indication of that. His friends take him to our Lord, and his friends are petitioning the Lord. Look at what it says. He says, the centurion said and replied, as a servant is paralyzed at home. He says, first of all, Jesus Christ doesn't force healing on anybody like Fauci's trying to heal us with the jab, right? Every time Jesus heals somebody, he asks them, do you want to be healed? Jesus is a gentleman. He's not like Dr. Frankenstein Fauci and Dr. Frank St. Klaus Schwab that want to heal us by the jab,
yeah.
Okay? Forcing their version of healing. So our Lord, the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to enter under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. That's what we say right before we receive Holy Communion. Thanks, because of Pope Benedict XVI, there was a theological imprecision with that language for 40-some-odd years after
right.
Vatican II. And Pope Benedict cleaned it up and said, no, this is the way it's supposed to say. It's supposed to be precise in its language. So we say that at Mass, thanks be to God. And by the way, that's how the soul is healed and reoriented right back to God the Father, is through the sacrament, sanctifying grace, not by a Protestant deliverance ministry, by going to pastor, so-and-so and having him lay hands on you and praying over here with a charismatic team. That's not the way you heal people. Look at the Bible how you heal people. You heal people with sanctifying grace, the sacraments of the church. This is, again, why Father Ripperger's methodology is head and shoulders above any Protestant or Catholic charismatic model out there, because Father goes back to the sacraments and sacramentals. And it says here, notice the way the centurion, he goes, I am a man subject to authority. And so this centurion respects authority, and Jesus respects authority as well. Now, notice also here, he says, I say to my slave, do this, and he comes. Slavery was a condition, although it was evil, it was just basically part of the human condition. Every country, every civilization, every race, when they conquered another country, they enslaved the men. That was because of our fallen nature, our concupiscence. That's why it's been around since time immemorial. And it was because of the Catholic Church, bishops and popes that spoke out against it thunderously, that Catholics can't own other human beings. This is why it eventually stopped. Also, what jumps out at me in today's reading is when our Lord says, amen, I say to you, and no one in Israel have I found such faith. What's he saying there? He's already preparing the Gentiles to come into the church, because Jesus Christ came to rescue the lost sheep of the lost house of Israel. That's the Jews. But you're already seeing Jesus Christ is grafting in the Gentiles. In this instance, he's saying, guess what? This Gentile centurion, he has more faith than any Jew that's part of the chosen people of God has, and I'm marveling at him. Terry?
Yeah, Jesse, this scripture also tells me why Pope Paul VI said that Fatima is a reaffirmation of the gospel, because one of the things Our Lady said, Jesse, is that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. And I, as you know, we get many people who text me and call me for prayers for a loved one who's dying.
Yeah.
And here's a good success story. It just happened 2 nights ago. We'd been praying for this gentleman who had been away from the church, and he was dying of cancer, and they were able to get him to a priest like a month ago to go to confession. And then he went into remission. He was having all kinds of issues with his health. And they were praying with him at the house, the rosary, Divine Mercy. And he died with an apostolic blessing, and he with confession. And she called me and said, he's in the process of dying. And we were just going to start the family rosary. And I said to my wife, let's pray, offer for this man who's dying right now. So everybody was praying. The effectiveness of prayer is profound. And when you see it right in your face, where you see people coming back to the faith at the end of their life, how else can you explain that? So anyhow, that gospel verse reminded me of that.
Terry, and I just read something on the internet a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Talk about the power of prayer.
Yeah, tell me.
There was a man, was his little boat capsized in the ocean somewhere. And, you know, he's like 10 miles away from the beach. And all of a sudden, a shark, a big shark, starts coming towards him and circling around his little little boat. Not a good scenario, okay? and all of a sudden, as he's praying to the Lord, all of a sudden, a school of dolphins come, and they basically, they shoo away the shark. The shark sees he's outnumbered.
Yeah.
And this one dolphin goes underneath, like, his arm and his shoulder.
Hey, hang on, Jackie. Hang on a minute. I want this for the remaining. This is a good teaser. I hear the music. So this guy's in an ocean. He's been surrounded by sharks. Jesse's telling some dolphins are going to come to the rescue. And when we come back, I want to hear the rest of the story, brother. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We inspire you to follow deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride in the church. When we come back, Jesse will tell the rest of that shark story. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yes, finish that shark story. I love shark. I mean, this is a good one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I read this on a Protestant website. Yeah. Don't ask me where. I'd have to fish around for it. I should have saved it, but I didn't. But it was so fascinating that I think I just deleted it right after. I was so excited, you know.
Yeah.
So a guy's about 10. His little boat capsizes, takes in water.
Yeah.
He's about 10 miles away from the shore.
Yeah.
He's and he's thinking, okay, should I swim? It's 10 miles. I could probably do it. All of a sudden, he sees a big fin coming towards him, and it's a big, massive shark.
Ouch.
And the shark starts circling around him. The man starts praying. The article didn't say that he was a Catholic or a Protestant. It just says the man starts praying to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All it said.
Sure.
And so within seconds, a school of dolphins come, and they basically intimidate the shark, and they shoo him away. The shark swims off. And one of the dolphins brushes right next to the guy that's in the, you know, in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Holding onto his capsized boat, and he comes underneath his arm, and nudges him.
Yeah.
And the guy holds onto his fin.
Oh my God.
And the school of dolphins, Terry, take him all the way into the shore.
Wow, that's a great story. Well, you know, dolphins. The reason the sharks are afraid of dolphins because dolphins will beat on their will attack them and just with their nose hit the shark so that they can't breathe. And so
they hit the gills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a great story. Hey, Jess, let me bring Fulton Sheen in here. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room.
Yeah.
Let's get Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. Fulton Sheen sometimes has friends with him, and one of his close friends was Saint Padre Pio. And I use this quote for today's Sheen quote because, you know, when you look at the world right now and you see inside and outside the church corruption, you see, hey, how do I keep my head above water? I'll tell you how. You got to have a supernatural view. So here's what St. Padre Pio says. Don't allow the sad sight of human injustice to sadden your soul. Someday you will see the unfailing justice of God triumph over it. You know, Jess, I've read that many times over the years, and I think of that. One of my dreams a lot of times is the second coming of Christ. I just dream about that day that I'm actually here, and it's all coming out. Everything comes out. And so Padre Pio says, let's make sure that we don't focus on the today and make sure that we know the end of the story. We win. So let's keep that in our back of our mind, or in front of our minds. Jess, let's move on.
Let me just mention one good news item.
I love good
topics.
News
item. Yeah. Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State and current... She's also the current director of the Hoover Institute. She slammed critical race theory mm-hmm. during an interview on ABC's The View on a couple of weeks ago. She says she told all the feminist women, she said, it is wrong to make white people feel guilty over the past, and it's wrong to make black people feel disempowered by race.
Yep.
So kudos to Condoleezza Rice. She made the remarks while discussing the issue of whether parents needed to have more influence over what's being taught in schools. So the topic today, Newswatch, COVID shots intended to reduce world's population by poisoning billions of people,
what?
According to a South African doctor. Well, I've been saying this for 2 years. I'm not a doctor. I just have a PhD in common sense.
Man.
I pray. I read the Bible. I know about the history of the Antichrist, the culture of death. I'm just aware of the culture wars.
Yeah.
I'm aware of spiritual warfare, the way the diabolical operates. And I've been saying, this is it. This is the way they're going to try to kill off the vast majority of the human race. They finally found it. So the article, just real quick, it says, the deaths that are meant to follow the vaccinations will never be able to be pinned on the poison. They will be too diverse.
That's right.
There will be too many.
Yep.
And they will be in too broad a time frame for us to understand that we have been poisoned, according to South African Dr. Shankara Chetty. He's a very prominent doctor. He's credited with advancing the development of early treatment for COVID-19. And he's also said in his judgment, he said this: the purpose of the pandemic, I call the scandemic, plandemic, and I get some mean emails, Terry. People don't like it. Yeah, all the people that are all into this stolen election and Biden. Boy, I get some nasty emails. But the scandemic, plandemic, for those of you that don't like it, and the vaccine campaigns is to control and kill a large portion of our population without anyone suspecting that we're poisoned, according to this prominent doctor, Shankara Chetty. He's a family doctor in South America. According to his website, he's treated 7,000 COVID-19 patients without a single hospitalization or death.
That's right.
And so he has combined insights from his medical knowledge along with his observations of government dictates and media censorship to support his conclusions that this is the Great Reset, the globalists. This is their plan to wipe out a good chunk of people on planet Earth. Terry?
And just a quick note, it's South Africa where he's from, so people know that this man is a prominent doctor there. And Jesse, bottom line, what you just said, you summarized it, but that spike protein is also a membrane protein, so this mRNA will distribute this throughout our body. And if you have cancer, he said, it's going to make your cancer flare up. If you've got diabetes, it's going to go after that. So all of these, you know, these problems you have in your health, it's just going to be added by having this shot. And then when you die from it, they're going to say, oh, yeah, you know, Terry, you died from diabetes. Oh, really? Yeah, well, I was doing fine until I got this shot of the vaccine. Well, that's what's going to happen. Now, Jesse, too many people have told me, come on, Romero, come on, Barber. You're a conspiracy type guy. Come on. Who's in the world is going to set up a worldwide? I mean, how could you get this organized? Don't you realize that would be too difficult to do? And then I said, well, have you ever heard of computers and email? And, you know, the world is pretty small. People call you from all around the world, just like you're talking to me next door. This is how small the world is. And for this to happen, I'm not surprised, but I'll tell you why I'm not surprised. Because as the world gives up its morality of right and wrong, these are the kinds of things that make sense, because they go, well, wait a minute, we can play God. We can decide on who's going to live and who's going to die. Think about what they've done with abortion, killing millions and millions of babies worldwide and trying to justify it, saying we're giving people a service. I see that the value of life means nothing to people who don't have morals.
Terry, the liberals try to shut down your conversation.
Yep.
Here's the way they do it. They'll just say, oh, Terry, Jesse, conspiracy theory, conspiracy mm-hmm. theory. That's all they say. They throw that word out there to shut down the conversation.
I've had it many times, yeah, of course.
But let me tell you, the term conspiracy theory, that's a term that was created by the CIA back in 1967, and that's a government law enforcement technique. It's a way to discredit your opponents from challenging your version of the truth.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know it's conspiracy theory. It's a law enforcement technique used by the CIA, and this is the way they shut down the opposition to the CIA's version of the truth. And Terry, there's a lot of stuff that the CIA, again, they haven't played. They haven't been honest with the public.
No,
on a lot of assassinations that have happened to presidents. A lot of people that we've assassinated, all this stuff is very quiet. And when you try to point it out to them, they'll say, oh, conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory. Let me go on to another topic here.
Sure.
It's called vaccinated English adults under 60 are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people. It's the same age and have been for 6 months.
Yeah, but Jesse, don't tell too many people the facts, because when the facts come out, it's going to undermine the narrative.
That's right. Again, they'll start calling you a conspiracy theorist.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a chart here, and it's a chart put out by the British government, and it shows you exactly what I just said. Again, that people, adults under 60, are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people the same age, and the chart shows a graph for 6 months. Again, to repeat, for those of you just tuning in, vaccinated people under 60 are twice as likely to die as unvaccinated people. And this is from a British study. The overall deaths in Britain are running well above normal. And again, before I pile on, I just want to say that personally, I, Jess Romero, I'm opposed to the massive vaccination, the forced vaccinations. I'm opposed to the mandates. I'm opposed to most child vaccinations against COVID. And I'm against all this fascist tyranny being imposed on the back of good Americans for something that's just slightly worse than a cold, or a flu. And the fact is, Terry, there's a lot of people that work in clinical research, mm-hmm. and they're coming across when they dig deep, and they're seeing that our government doctors, Terry, are not being honest with us.
And Jesse, they're not able to speak about this unless they will. If they do, they can lose their job. See, that's a red flag for me. When they can't tell the people the statistics that's what's going on because it doesn't support the narrative, that's a problem.
Yeah, somebody just sent me in my Telegram. I'm in a Telegram chain with a bunch of different people around the country. Somebody just sent me, I don't want to grab my phone because it's in the other room, but a doctor just exposed a major problem with one of the jabs, one of the mm-hmm. mRNA vaccines,
sure.
and they found him dead the next day. So he exposed what was in this one vaccine, and they found him dead the next day. Yeah, Terry, you think the globalists won't kill you?
If you
know too much? Just think about this: if they're willing to kill babies in a mother's womb, an innocent baby, and cut them up and sell their body parts, mm-hmm. there is nothing these globalists won't do. They won't bat an eye trying to kill you and or me in a heartbeat. These people are pro death. They're eugenicists nuts, euthanasia nuts, and Terry, what they're also doing is they're trying to play with our sanity by they call it psychological operations. It's called what's that term?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Terry. When they just continue throwing lies and lies at you.
Yeah. Well, and Bernard Nathan said that about abortion. Tell the lie often enough.
That's right. That's right.
Believe it.
Yeah, that's the point that I'm making.
Okay.
Correct.
Good.
Terry, but there's just a lot of doctors, just like the South American doctor. I mean, I got a word file of two or three pages.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Lee Merritt says these are bioweapons.
Yes.
Dr. Michael McDonald says these vaccines are genetic bioweapons. Dr. Stella Emanuel calls this COVID-19, the CDC and NIH fake science. I got lists and lists of doctors.
Hey, don't confuse me with the facts. We're here at the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. Oh, yeah. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, hey, we'd be billionaires. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The term that I was looking for is called gaslighting.
Gaslighting.
This is exactly what they're doing to us, Terry.
Yeah.
The liberals, through Fauci and Klaus Schwab, they're gaslighting the American public. What is gaslighting? This is when somebody in power, and that they're trying to undermine your confidence by giving you, by making you question your own rational thought, by making you question your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, it's they're messing with your thoughts by constantly giving you false information and making you think, if you don't believe it, you're the one that's crazy. That's gaslighting.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing to us right now, Terry. And so let's move on to Dr. Paul Merrick.
This is great.
He files an epic lawsuit to allow physicians to prescribe life-saving ivermectin.
About time.
Protocols in fight against COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So the ivermectin works against COVID-19. I know it helped me in 5 days.
Yeah, I've taken it.
Study after study demonstrates that treatment regimes, such as the Math Plus protocol from Dr. Paul Merrick, can reduce the mortality rate of patients dying from the disease. It's also been shown to be extremely effective as an early treatment, and some say it's effective as a prophylactic. So Dr. Merrick has prescribed such protocols for his patients since the early days of the pandemic, but his hospital has been prohibiting ivermectin and other FDA-approved drugs from being used. I wonder who's behind that. Can you say Fauci and Klaus Schwab?
Yep.
And the government, the Biden administration? So as a result of the hospital prohibiting ivermectin, the mortality rates has gone up of COVID-19, and the hospital continues to play the political game of panning the life-saving drug, even as lives are being lost.
Horrible.
So this good doctor, Merrick, has filed a lawsuit against the hospital system for which he works.
Yep.
This guy's got guts.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna pay a big price.
It's called Centara Healthcare. He's trying to force them to allow doctors, by his lawsuit, to prescribe whatever treatments they deem appropriate, particularly for terminally ill patients. And this lawsuit will likely have nationwide implications, as many hospitals and medical facilities have imposed similar restrictions on their doctors that Centara Norfolk General Hospital has. Terry, here's my comment.
Yeah.
A lot of these hospitals, basically, they're overseen by the FDA, yes, the CDC, and the NIH. And who oversees all that? Dr. Frankenstein Fauci, the medical dictator.
Well, here's the bottom line on all of this. We've said it over the last 2 years that they can't come out with an experimental drug unless, are you ready for this? Drum roll. There's no medicine to treat the patient. And so if the ivermectin and other drugs are effective in preventing the illness, well, we can't let people take them because we won't be able to make all our money on this vaccine. So they've lost thousands of lives. People have died because they wouldn't get the medicine they needed because the government said, hey, you can't do this because we won't be able to get the vaccine out. So I think this is diabolical. Jesse, I know that's a strong language, but I think this comes from the pit of hell, and I'll tell you why. Because lives are being lost because of this policy where they're not letting, you know, the drugstores give out this medicine. Doctors prescribe it, and they say, no, we can't do that. We've never done that in our history. So why are they doing it? I think it's because the money. And if it means people losing their lives, oh, well. So be it.
If you want to hear the best arguments as to why the vaccine is diabolical,
mm-hmm,
I would invite you to listen to my podcast, Jesus 911. Last Wednesday, I had Kyle Clement on, who is Father Chad Ripperger's right-hand man for the last 15 years. And we did a deep dive into the COVID-19 and the diabolical.
Good.
Some of the things that he said, which I know where he gets them from, he gets them from him and Father. Demons communicate a lot of this information during sessions of exorcism. They're forced to tell and give up information because the rite of exorcism is a beating. It's literally a beating of the demon. And so under the duress of pain, they will say things that they don't want to say. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, if you want to hear the third and fourth segment of last week's Jesus are gold.
Yep.
If you want to hear the connection between the diabolical and these vaccines. Terry, but Dr. Merrick, he says that he's not a fringe physician. He's not anti-vaxxer. All he wants to do is simply offer his patients the best possible treatment that science points to, and to the various ivermectin protocols that are giving people a high probability of survival. And even Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology used in two of the three vaccines offered in the U.S., he tweeted his support for Dr. Merrick's quest. He said this. He said, as Dr. Merrick Malone noted, hospitals and medical licensing boards have been actively hunting down doctors who are not perfectly aligned with the prescribed mainstream narrative, like Terry says, the narrative. They are preventing medical professionals from speaking out against vaccines or in favor of ivermectin, despite the fact that there's an abundance of scientific evidence backing both perspectives. Terry, so the left, the Great Reset, the globalists, they don't want to follow the science. They want to follow the money.
And Jesse, the Hippocratic Oath that doctors should be taking, and now I understand in the last 30 years they're avoiding this. But
it's a modified version.
Yes, but it's not what the old version was.
Nope.
So he said, the doctors have the ability to honor their Hippocratic Oath to follow the evidence-based medicine and to treat our patients to the best we know how. So basically, they're not allowing doctors to work with their patients to the best ability that they have. They're limiting them. And thousands and thousands, especially elderly people, didn't need to die. But because of this policy where they couldn't get medicines given to them, again, why? They couldn't get the vaccine out as an emergency vaccine if there was medicines that were effective. So guess what? Thousands of people die to get the vaccine out. It's kind of like this, Jesse. I see it this way. And that is, you want to make a principle that says you can't, like you say, you're in business. If this thing comes out that's going to take business away from our selling cars, for example, let's say you had a car that didn't need gasoline, they would say you can't have it come out right now because the big oil people are going to be controlling that. And I know that that happened back 50 years ago because money talks and the idea that there's no money behind this vaccine. Look at the billions and billions of dollars that are being made by these manufacturers of it. And here's the kicker, Jesse, to add. These manufacturers have no liability.
That's right. And the Biden administration is paying a lot of people, a lot of big corporations and companies.
Yep.
They're paying them. They're silencing them by donations.
Yep. Money talks.
Yeah. So, Terry, this is without a doubt, this priest, I mean,
this doctor is doing something that needed to be done, Jesse.
This is David and Goliath.
Exactly.
This doctor is fighting the mainstream media industrial complex that's brainwashing the masses of low information Americans. And the doctor says that his mission is very straightforward.
Yeah.
He says to counter the false narratives and nefarious agendas destroying America today, it isn't easy for obvious reasons, despite incredible growth over the last year. He says we're still a tiny fish in a huge media pond, but we're fighting and will continue to do so, Lord willing, for as long as we possibly can. Because why? The battle for America's present and future is too important for us to back down to the giants that stand in our way.
And he must really love his patients, Jesse, because he's going out on a limb. I'm sure that they're going to fire him. They're going to countersue. They're going to malign him, his reputation. All of this, why? Because he cares about his patients and he cares about people. I'm going to be honest with you, Jesse. when I see doctors just follow orders, hey, they did that with the Nazis. You know, they just followed orders. Hey, I didn't kill them. Well, you did, because you didn't speak up by sins of omission. And I keep using that line over and over again, what Pope St. Felix III said, not to oppose error, and this is error, you're gonna prove at. Not to defend the truth right now, Jesse, if we weren't defending this right now and pointing this out, we would be part of the error. You're suppressing it. So
that's
anyhow,
right.
This is why we do this.
Dr. Merrick's lawsuit, if it's successful, this could set precedent for doctors around the entire country.
It'll save thousands of lives, too.
And a lot of good doctors will be able to do what's necessary to save lives.
That's right.
Instead of playing the big pharma-endorsed game of healthcare politics. So God bless this doctor and keep him in your prayers. Also, just want to mention, this is just a quick, did you know?
Yeah.
The Paris Archbishop resigns after being accused of an affair with a woman.
Yeah.
Archbishop Michel Aupetit has repeatedly denied the allegations.
He's
the Archbishop of Paris since 2017.
Took 9
years. But he tendered his resignation to Pope Francis last Friday.
Yeah.
Shortly after being accused by the French Weekly, it's a paper,
yeah,
Le Point, of having an intimate relationship with an adult woman back in 2012. So the news of the offer to resign was leaked by another magazine, Le Figaro. Archbishop Aupetit did not deny his offer, but he said he wanted to keep the move a secret in order to allow the Pope to decide whether to accept it or not in total freedom. This archbishop, by the way, is a lefty. He's deeply...
Oh, big time.
He's deeply disliked because his very progressive pastoral center of St. Mary Parish. He has an attitude towards traditional Catholics.
That's right.
His harshness towards a priest accused of not respecting COVID restrictions during Francis' second confinement. And he's also disgusted, finger pointing at those who continue to receive Holy Communion on the tongue, despite the sanitary crisis, showing that this archbishop is an aggressively ideological anti-traditionalist.
And we'll stop talking about scandals when the scandals stop, because we need to have these stop in our church. We need to pray for our leaders to stop this stuff. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Let me mention something for your good news file.
Yeah.
Your GNF.
We need good news, brother.
Yes.
This show.
Governor Greg Abbott, the governor from Texas. He signed a bill 2 weeks ago that effectively bans biologically male athletes from competing against biological females from kindergarten to the 12th grade in public schools.
That just makes sense.
So the law requires athletes to play on sports team that correspond with the sex listed on their original birth certificate. I'm only laughing, Terry, because it's like, duh. It's like common sense. But so many people are so foolish and so asinine and so moronic these days in our country that you have to actually sign a law like this that's already comports with common sense.
And you know, Jesse, this is the same state. Are you ready for this? Texas is providing over $100 million to fund pregnancy centers and adoption agencies, maternity homes, while also providing mothers who want to keep their babies with free counseling, parenting hips, diapers, formulas, and job training. And Jess, just to give a contrast, I live in the state of California last time I looked. The complete opposite. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars to kill our future Californians through abortion. This is why, Jesse, I'm just going to make a comment. You tell me I'm all wet. But if I see any kind of civil war in the sense of this country, I see it between states. You got conservative states and you got liberal states.
Yeah.
I see that unless this country gets unified on, you know, with the next election, and I hope we do, I just see that states have just totally different views of sacredness of life, to principles of subsidiarity versus big government. It's like two separate countries every time you go to a different state. Am I on to something, or is that...
You're right. I'd almost like to see the United States is split into two countries.
Yeah. Let the liberals stay in there.
Give the liberals what they want, you know?
Yeah.
And then...
They'll find out how good it works.
Exactly. They'll destroy it. Yeah. They'll destroy it. And then people of patriots, people of faith, and conservatives...
Seems to me that... Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it would be the economic powerhouse of the world.
I agree.
Terry, also one more thing I want to mention, kind of from the good news file, is that people don't realize that in the last 2 years, there's been 1,100 pro-police rallies around the country.
Awesome.
And of course, you haven't heard that from the mainstream media.
No.
These pro-police rallies were spread throughout the country from Michigan to Texas, from New York to California,
right,
with great enthusiasm by the public, by those people of faith, defenders of peace. But best of all, the rallies were encouraged by the officers, who often came by to show their appreciation for these prayers and their support. These rallies, Terry, were done by America Needs Fatima campaign, by the way. Yeah. 1,100 pro-priest rallies from America Needs Fatima. God bless them.
Yeah, this is exciting. And again, the power of prayer. That's why I say for this Advent, everybody, we started Advent on Sunday. Let's stay focused on Jesus Christ. Let's stay focused on our way of dealing with a secular world that acts like God doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, Jesse, on Wednesday, we're going to do a fireside chat with all of our radio people, and then we're going to talk about how to survive. How do we survive in a world that acts like God doesn't exist? Well, the simple answer is live in the state of grace, because they can't do anything to you that will, well, like I
yeah,
say,
they could kill your body. They can't kill your soul.
Well, I always quote St. Thomas More when he said, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal."
Amen, Terry. And there's also another quote of a saint. I forget who it is. You can help me, but this one saint was asked, if the world would end right now, what would you do? What saint was that?
Saint Ignatius of Loyola, regarding the spiritual exercises, they asked that question, and he said, whatever my duty is calling me to do, whether it's exercise or in the chapel to pray or eating, he didn't respond, "Oh, well, I stop what I'm doing, get down, I'm just, ask God for mercy." No, I continue to do what my daily duty, because that's the most pleasing to God. I thought it was a great answer.
Yeah, in other words, if you're doing the right thing,
yeah,
then so what if the world ends?
Yeah.
Because all of us have a duty based on our role as male and female,
yep,
husband and wife, grandfather, grandmother,
yep,
dad and mom.
Yep.
And so as long as you're doing your daily duty according to your vocation, if Jesus comes, so be it. He'll catch you doing what you're supposed to be doing.
And if I could give a little bit more, Our Lady of Fatima also said that living out the Fatima message, too, with all the things, is fulfilling your duties in your state in life. And then I will leave you on another thought from a book called Abandonment to Divine Providence by Pierre de Caussade, a Jesuit 17th century priest. He said, God's will is manifested moment by moment as long as we're staying faithful to our duties in our state in life. I say that to about 10 people every week, Jesse, who I counsel on the phone, who say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I say, sit down, stay focused with our Lord. God's will is being manifested. What are your duties with your state and life? I'm a mother. I have 4 kids. Well, then do those duties well and stop thinking about the end of the world and stop thinking about all this. Start doing you stay focused on your duties and your state in life. That's the message I wanted to give to people, because that's the message I give myself. That's how I stay sane, Jesse, because if I was worried about every little thing in the world, the wars that could be coming, I would be, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what you do. Stay close to Jesus. That's what you do.
Yes, and another thing that you should do, I guess we'll just end it with this,
sure,
is make the daily practice of doing the Angelus.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah.
It keeps you focused,
yes,
morning, noon, and night.
Yes, we have a good article here. It's kind of long. We won't get to it.
Yeah.
But just go ahead and read it on our show page.
Yeah.
It's called Why Praying the Angelus is the Daily Practice You Need to Cultivate Peace. And it's very well written. You know, for decades, the number of people diagnosed with clinical anxiety has been on the rise.
Yep.
And we recognize on a deeper level that fearfulness is part of the human condition.
Yep.
It is part of the 14 emotions that the human person has, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
That's right.
It's part of our human condition. It's our current state of the world doesn't help the situation, obviously. A lot of people are overwhelmed by the number of daily decisions that we have to make, anything from what to eat, what to wear, what media to take in, which in cause can, you know, causes it could cause further anxiety, and it can result in a crisis of faith as well as a panic disorder. But as Catholics, we believe that Catholic can transform our fear into courage when we trust him. And here's how you gain this peace and calm in your interior life.
Here it comes.
It's through routines. Routines.
Holy habits.
Specifically, those routines centered on prayer.
Got it.
That we can offer ourselves the consistency that we need.
Yep.
While not all Christians are called to strict prayerful observance like those in the consecrated life, but there are some practices that are easy to weave into our days, even as lay Catholics. And one such holy habit is the Angelus. It's a traditional vocal prayer that offers peace to those who pray it daily. And for centuries, in Europe and beyond, the Angelus bell was rung to call Catholics to pray at dawn, noon, and dusk. More specifically, 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. In Western Europe, it was even called the peace bell. And the author, Nicole Abbey, says, I began praying the Angelus daily after 6 months last year. I fell into the habit of praying it a second time. And thanks to its calming effect, it felt like I was surrendering to God. And over time, this has helped me to feel less anxious overall. I can tell you that Father Chad Ripperger, he puts all the possessed people on a prayer protocol. And one of the things that he's very strict on is that a possessed person has to pray the Angelus three times a day for 60 to 90 days before he will see them.
Did that's you catch awesome. That? Yes, that makes
60
sense.
60 to 90 days before he'll even see them, because what he wants to, first of all, he says that the Angelus, this routine of prayer, drives demons away from their home, their children, and their person. So a lot of people after 90 days are just delivered when they come see Father, because he puts them on a 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. Angelus and the daily rosary. And he says oftentimes, he goes, Jess, 90% of the people are healed just by that routine. Just like the article said, or Taylor's holy habits. It's through these routines, that's specifically right, prayer, that we take custody of our intellect. We get this interior peace, and it helps us live in a state of grace.
And Jesse, one of the reasons we have the bells tower rebuilt here at the Sacred Heart Chapel is to ring those bells often. And Jess, tell us what the exorcists say about church bells. Who doesn't like church bells?
Yes, demons.
That's right.
They flee church bells again. When a priest blesses them, and we bless the church bells, now they become a sacramental.
Yep.
And so a sacramental actually, it actually gives off actual grace. It projects it into the cosmos. And if there's any demons present and they hear the blessed bells, it drives them away. Remember, that's the word that's used over and over again in Scripture, all the New Testament. And it says, and the Lord drove them away, enemies or demons. And so this is what sacramentals and prayer does. It drives them away.
And Jesse, you can count on it. At 12 noon, I'm going out there. The bell tower is a little too tall for a short guy like me to ring the bell. So I'll humble myself and get a chair, stand on that chair and ring the bells at 12 noon. Amen. just to kind of say, there you go. So wait, hey, listen, Jess, one last thought about the Spiritual Warfare Conference. I know we've been advertising it. We got 550 people coming. People keep asking me, what are they going to do there that's so unique? Why don't you share why people should be joining that conference this January?
It's so unique because in one sentence, they're going to teach you how to self-deliver, not taught to Catholics.
Wow.
Most people say, oh, no, I'm diabolically afflicted. So they run to the nearest Pentecostal Protestant group or the nearest Catholic charismatic group that meets on Tuesday nights in the basement with Mrs. Ferguson laying hands on people and acting like a priest. And guess what? It gives them temporary relief, but they don't get healed. How do you get healed? You got to go to the conference. You're going to learn the monastic method of self-deliverance.
And go to vmpr.org to register, secure, or call 877-526-2151. I also want to mention you can support our show by going to thecatholicrc.org, and there's all kinds of downloads for you. And don't forget our full Sheen Ahead YouTube channel. We want to tell more people about that because, as we say, full Sheen Ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Yep. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer.
Well said. And again, I want to thank everybody. Year-end donations is coming to December. Just go to vmpr.org. We're picking up our new engineer 30 days from now at full time, and it's a big expense. If you'd like to help us with that, call us at 877-526-2151. God love you and your family.